thought about their life.
How many of you tonight have heard or familiar, I know this is silly, but I'm going to ask it anyway, familiar with Judas Iscariot? Most of us know who that is. In fact, you notice whenever you say it, you kind of always, it's almost like you're embarrassed to bring it up. We don't really say that with any pride tonight. But it's in the Word of God, and it's there for our study. It's there for us to look at. And I want to begin in John chapter 12. I want to read a couple of verses, and in Matthew chapter 27. If you're at John chapter 12, say amen. And I'm just going to give you a few verses, then I'll give you a few comments about it. I want to make sure that I go back myself to Matthew chapter 27. And just a study, you don't hear much preaching on Judas. He's usually mentioned in a sermon, but you hear very little just focused on Judas. But he is in the Word of God. And in John chapter 12, we see some things about his life. In verses 5 and 6 of John chapter 12, it said Judas, of course, in John chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Beautiful scene. Many of you remember that account in Scripture. "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." Now you'll notice when Judas' name is mentioned in Scripture, that tag is given that he is a traitor or that he is a betrayer. And he says in verse 5 and 6, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Now that tells you really about all you need to know about Judas, but we'll go on. In fact, in John chapter 13, just a page or two over in your Bible, some of them, verses chapter 13, verse 29, and again, I'm just kind of pulling these out. Always read the verses around. I know I say that all the time, but I'll say it again. And here in this account, of course, Jesus is preparing for the betrayal, John chapter 13. And Jesus says in this whole passage here is talking about this. I don't want to just get too many verses, but "For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had sent unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor." And in this account, in verse 27, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." And we see this account between this interaction between Jesus and Judas. And most of us are familiar with that. Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts. We'll give you a few other verses tonight. Most of us are familiar with the account of Judas. Let me give you some things about Judas Iscariot. He is called in Scripture Judas the son of Simon. Now I did some studies on this, and there's actually been some research on who his family was. I couldn't really establish that biblically speaking, and I wasn't able to research all the scholars and where it came from. There's some that even went so far to say that Judas was kind of pampered and raised a certain way by his mother and father, and that he had this certain home life. I've never heard that before. That may be the case. We may get to heaven and find some of these things out. All we know in Scripture is that he is called the son of Simon here, and he is also called his name, as some of these other ones had names and sometimes nicknames, and sometimes we think of these other apostles, these other disciples, we think of them with joy. We think of Brother Austin preached on Thomas, and man, you just think, man, what a great hero of the faith. We think of Matthew that went into great detail about our Savior. We think of John, this great apostle. And we think of these as great heroes of the faith, but not Judas. Not Judas. Judas is not, obviously, a hero of the faith. He is called Judas the betrayer. Even to this day, if somebody is sneaky or a scoundrel or is a betrayer or goes behind your back, we will call them a Judas. That name was put on even throughout the centuries, folks who would betray. because Judas. Let me give you some things we just mentioned here. He was, in verses 5 and 6, he was the treasurer for the group of disciples. And the Bible says he also was a thief. Now we have to understand tonight that Jesus did love him. It wasn't that Jesus rejected Judas. Judas rejected Jesus. Understand this tonight too, that the disciples were so enamored, or I wouldn't say enamored, that's not the right English word, but I wouldn't say taken in. I don't know really the proper word, but we could say that they never wondered about him. They did not say, I tell you, I knew it all along. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. You don't see anybody protesting like, I don't know if you ought to put that guy in charge of the money. You don't see that. Now, after they write about it, after the fact, he is caught the one that would betray. But during his life when he was walking with Jesus, we don't see that. In fact, we don't see that at all. When we think of Judas, he betrays Jesus. He feels remorse. He throws the blood money in the temple and hanged himself. The chief priests used the money to purchase the potter's field, fulfilling prophecy in Matthew chapter 27. That was actually a fulfillment of prophecy that he would do this. He purchased the field of blood and fell headlong and burst open. Acts chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He was replaced by an apostle named Matthias in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. He was the replacement, was Matthias. There's some things about Judas's life. There's four things that we see very clearly in Scripture. One thing was, is he was greedy. Greed in the Word of God is never good. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. And undoubtedly, Judas had this love of money. He was deceitful. He was not, you notice in our text that we just read, it wasn't that he cared for the poor. And he was the obvious, as the word today, it's called virtue signaling, where somebody acts like they really care, and truthfully, they don't really care. They just want you to think they care. Judas was the original virtue signaler. Oh man, we shouldn't have wasted this money. We should have helped the poor. He had no care for the poor, according to Scripture. He was also treacherous, obviously. I mean, this guy was as bad as they come. But in the end of his life, he was remorseful. And there's a lot of messages. There's a lot of things that jump out to us. And that is, remorse is not always enough. Remorse, if it's not at the right time and in the right circumstance, doesn't necessarily lead to being saved. And we see some things in Scripture about him. He is selected as one of the 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 6. Jesus referred to Judas as the devil in John chapter 6. Satan entered into Judas. He's called the son of perdition, which I've always believed and taught. Now you may hear another preacher, somebody else teach this differently, but I think it's clear in Scripture that Judas was never saved. He did not believe. You will not, from what I can gather from Scripture, see Judas in heaven. When we see this whole passage, he conversed with Jesus during the Last Supper, what we just talked about. The devil entered into his heart at the Last Supper. Now think about the Last Supper, this famous scene, this beautiful picture. That Judas, in the midst of this glory, Satan uses him. And he betrays our Lord and Savior for 30 pieces of silver. You say, what is the lesson? In fact, some of the things that I've used, so there's a lesson from each of the apostles that you and I can just take, just a simple lesson. And one of the lessons is this: not all who claim to follow Jesus are faithful to him and his goals. Not everybody that says they love Jesus, love Jesus. How many of y'all know that tonight? You know, I've talked to many people that, you know, they get out of church or they won't come back or something happens, they get hurt. And they'll use some story and they'll say, well, these Christians and this church and these churches. And I always say, now, wait a minute, you got to remember now, not everybody that names the name of Christ is a Christian. Not every preacher that preaches is a God-called preacher. Not every church is perfect. And not everybody that names the name of Christ. And here we see one that literally walked and talked with Christ, but he was not a believer in Christ. And what a message. Judas was, his name is Iscariot. He was possibly, now there's some disagreement, he was possibly from a place called Kerioth. And also, if you notice, last week we looked at the Zealots. Judas, I believe, was a zealot. And he was one of those knife-wielding zealots. He had that about him. And it showed that some zealots got transformed and they used that zeal for the Lord. But that zeal in and of itself is not godly. It has to be changed. And Judas is the perfect example of that. Now, there's a lot of things we could talk about tonight. We could talk about him being greedy. We could talk about him being a thief. We could talk about him being a betrayer. But what I want to just kind of dwell on, I want to give you just some real quick thoughts and let you go home tonight. And I want to talk about the privileges. Can you imagine the privilege that Judas Iscariot had? A front row seat to the life of Jesus, just like these other disciples. He was right there rubbing shoulders with John. He was rubbing shoulders with Matthew, with Thomas. He was right there at the Last Supper. He had listened to the conversations. He had done all these things, but he had passed up on the privileges. That's the title of the message tonight, Passing Up on the Privileges. I just want to give you just some real simple thoughts. You've probably thought about this before too. In fact, I remember as a young Christian and even in church when I was even a little kid thinking, how in the world did that take place? How in the world is that possible? How can this one? And it's a reminder to us. In fact, when we think about him passing up on the privileges, let me give you about four areas. One, first of all, he passed up on the privileges. He had a front row seat for Jesus' miracles. How many of y'all would have loved to have watched Jesus perform a miracle? You know, I got the idea of doing this series off the show Chosen. One of the things that I cry when I watch the show Chosen is when Jesus does a miracle. I'm like, oh man, this is wonderful. Watch this, he's going to walk. Watch this, Jesus is going to heal him. Watch this leper lose his leprosy. Watch my Savior touch him and make him whole. That's my Jesus. And man, I'm sitting there at my house and look out, here he comes. I love it. I get fired up about it because that's the Jesus that I know. That's the Jesus that I'm sitting there thinking, oh man. And he says, Father, forgive them for their own. That's the Jesus I love that loves those nobody else loves and cares. And he's perfect. He's our Savior. He is the Son of God. Can you imagine sitting there and seeing somebody sick, can't move their hand, has leprosy, nobody wants to touch them. And then here comes Jesus and it's like, watch this. I don't know about you all. I've been to the hospitals. I've been to the cancer wards. I've been with families when they lost their loved ones. I've been around the accidents. My wife and I went over when, I remember Brother Rufus Cantrell got killed in a car accident. My wife and I went right into the room with his wife, and it was unbelievable. I would have loved to have seen Jesus walk in and let's raise him from the dead. Can you imagine? Remember now, he had a front row seat. A front row. He was standing there watching these miracles take place. Water to wine, raising the dead, casting out demons, healing the leper. In fact, the Bible says if everything written down, the world could not contain the books. Judas got to see all that. He may have gotten kind of old hat to him. I don't know. I don't know whatever took place. He may have saw it with his eyes, but it didn't get to his heart. In the boat, he was in the boat when Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee and calmed the sea. Can you imagine that? Have you ever been to the ocean? Hey, if you go out to the ocean on a calm day, you may get sick. Jesus caused the sea to calm. He gathered his own basket of leftovers when Jesus fed the thousands with a few loaves and a few fishes. How many of y'all remember that message, that story? Judas is carrying one back. Baskets full. In fact, I've always believed obviously there's a miracle, but there was a message that every one of those apostles were, as they were holding, wait a minute, things are different now. We've got a God in heaven that can take a little boy's lunch and feed thousands. He got to hold one of those. Wait a minute, Judas, you saw that up close and personal. You touched that. You saw that. You were right there with it. He saw the before and after of Jesus' healings, the lepers, the blind. Can you imagine somebody that had not had sight and then they see? They could not walk and then they walk? I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't understand it. It's hard for us to imagine. But yet here it is. Here's this Judas. He had a front row seat to see Jesus' miracles. He saw Lazarus' resurrection and personally spoke with him afterwards. I mentioned Lazarus this morning. Can you imagine? Guess what? Can you imagine Judas coming over there of all of them? Man, I can see John. I can see Matthew. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise. What a God we serve. But somehow Judas didn't get that. Now, he may have looked like he got it because you don't see any of the disciples looking at him sideways. Say, why ain't you praising like everybody else? Maybe he did praise. We're not told. But he had a front row seat and he passed up on it. He saw all those miracles and all those blessings. Passed up on it. Let me say secondly, not only had a front row seat of those miracles, he had a front row seat of Jesus' teachings. Now, I think one of the joys of heaven. Can you imagine hearing the sweet voice of our Savior giving the Sermon on the Mount? I can't read it without crying right now. How many of y'all love the Word of God? Can you imagine Jesus teaching? Brother Kevin's a wonderful Sunday school teacher. Brother McBride's many of you are wonderful teachers. But with all due respect, I want to be a great preacher, but with all due respect, wouldn't we all love to hear our Savior? I think it's going to be the joy of heaven to say, hey, he's teaching. Like, okay, here we go. Now this perfect, I mean, it was perfect. He understood a person's heart. He's made our heart. Perfect diction, perfect speaking, perfect demeanor, never did anything wrong. When you see a preacher, like, well, I don't like his personality. Well, he misquoted a scripture. Well, they make mistakes because we do. Not Jesus. We call it in preaching and teaching, we say they knocked a home run. Hey, Jesus knocked a home run every single time. Now, they went away from him because of their unbelief. Not everybody loved when he preached because, you know, he cast out demons into swine. And those who loved the swine more than they loved Jesus, they didn't like it. He was not always popular. He gets crucified. We know this. But can you imagine being a disciple and hearing the perfect teaching of Jesus? When he says, I say unto you. Those verses, when Jesus says, I say unto you, have changed my life. But they didn't, Judas. They changed Peter's life. They changed Thomas's destiny. They caused Thomas, those teachings of Jesus, caused Thomas to go, and these other disciples to go literally lay down their life for a Savior. But not Judas. He misses it. He had a front row teachings. He heard the Sermon on the Mount and many others. He experienced what amazed crowds of Jesus' power in teaching. The Apostle Paul said, this thing was not done in a corner. I mean, when they went to hear Jesus, said, oh, come and see a man that don't speak like every other man. You remember the lady that got healed at the well? She said, come see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. Come see this one. Come and see the one that taught. Come and see the one that knows us and loves us and that teaching. And by the way, let me say this to you. You can challenge it. You can attack it. You can try to subvert it. You can try to question it. You can do whatever you want to. But Dr. B.R. Lincoln used to say this. This word of God and the teachings of Christ is it's an anvil against every critical sledge. You can beat it. You can attack it. You can put it on the shelf and not read it. But it's still there and it's still powerful. And it's the words of our Savior. But somehow or another, Judas, well, not somehow or another. We'll get to that in just a minute. He was discipled by Jesus in teachings as they walked and talked. I'm talking about one-on-one. You know, there's some things, my boys are here tonight, my daughter's here tonight. There's some things that I've talked to them as their dad one-on-one that I wouldn't tell your children. Some very private things that we believe as a family that we hold to, some things that I want them to do in their life. My granddad used to do that with me. He said, well, son, let me tell you something. Now, I knew it was coming, and I'm so thankful for that. Think about this. Jesus did that with Judas. Judas, let me tell you. Let me tell you, Judas, money's not all it's about. I just wonder if he told him about money. Said, Judas, you don't want to hold on to money too long. Don't let money get a hold of your heart. I mean, he's the one that said love of money is the root of it. The Bible says this. I mean, he is the Logos, the Word. He's quoting Old Testament perfect because he wrote it. And so here's this Judas, and he misses the miracles and he misses Jesus' teachings. Even though he had a front row seat, think about this, he was also given authority by Jesus to teach and exercise spiritual authority. Jesus gives him, in Matthew chapter 10, he calls him 12 disciples, and he gives them in Matthew chapter 10. In fact, let me read that verse real quickly, just so I won't misquote it. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read it to you real quickly. In Matthew chapter 10, it said, and when he called When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He had given him these. Judas had a, he was so consistent in his life. In fact, it's kind of a puzzling thing. And he, right after this is when the Lord gives these names of these disciples. In verse 4 says, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And he was given this authority. Judas was named treasurer of the group and managed their money. In fact, he was looked at, usually the person that you give as a treasurer, someone who manages money, has to be trustworthy. That's usually the crowd that their name is attached. Like, hey, that man is honest. That man's going to do the right thing. He is not going to be under. I mean, that goes together. In fact, most of us, if you give, you say, well, you can trust them. That's trust, and you have to have that. If not, that's why when we look at our politicians, we all go, oh my, because they're not trustworthy. And so Judas was felt that way. In fact, I find it very interesting, and there's a lot of studies and a lot of things written about that. And yet Judas still, he had this privilege. And I don't believe, now some, I looked at some of the artist renditions of Judas. And most of them show him as artist, obviously, because we know what he does. I'm talking about before he betrays. I don't think Judas, if an artist was going to draw him, I don't think he had that sinister look. One artist drew him as almost looking like a snake. When I think of Judas, I think of a snake. I think of Satan. I think of a son of perdition. But up until this betrayal, I don't think we'd have looked at Judas and said, oh, I can spot him out. In fact, if you remember, they said, is it I? The disciples said, is it I? Am I the one? And Jesus says, the one that dips his sop with me now is the one. We know that account. And so it was not easy. I knew who it was. We knew all along. Have you ever had somebody do something and you're like, I'm not surprised? Because you kind of knew him. It's like, I don't really surprise me. But you don't see that with Judas by the other disciples. We have the privilege of looking at Scripture. But he was given this authority by Jesus. In fact, what I see is a perfect Savior that loved Jesus, that loved Judas with a perfect love like he loves everybody else. That's the Jesus we have tonight. Knowing what he was going to do, he loved him anyway. There's nobody else could do that but a God in heaven. Now think about that tonight. He had these privileges of the miracles, of the teachings, of even being there with the spiritual authority of Christ. And then lastly, he had a day in and day out, 3 years he lived with the incarnate Son of God. Many of you tonight have friends or a co-worker, maybe a child or a parent or a sibling, and you are praying for them and you're thinking, well, if I could just get them in church, if I could just get them around other Christians, if they could just see that we're not all hypocrites and not all weirdos, if they could just see that Christians are kind because maybe they had some Christian that was a jerk to them years ago. If they could just see that God forgives and yes, they may have sinned and yes, their life may have been turned upside down, but we've got a God in heaven that can turn it right side up. Most of us tonight just want our friends and loved ones and folks that we know that are not saved or that are away from God or whatever it may be. We want them to see this and we're with the hopes that if they could see that, then they might get right with God. And by the way, that does happen, doesn't it? They get in church and, I mean, I've told the testimony when I was a teenager and some of the ladies, the older ladies in our church that I had zero in common with, that God started using them to get to my heart. God does that. God can use people. Thank God for that. But Judas sat with the incarnate Son of God day in and day out, watched total perfection, and he missed it. He passed up that privilege. And it shows us, church, tonight, and most of us know this, that you can come to church, you can even have the Bible, you can have Bibles everywhere, you can hear the great preaching and teaching, you can, and by the way, there's no one that heard better preaching and teaching than Judas. No one ever had a Bible better than Judas. He had the Bible right in front of him, literally walking. There was no one that ever was around a perfect Christian the way Judas was. Nobody had it like Judas had it. Just like the other apostles. I mean, you talking about living with the real thing. You know, somebody said, man, he was real. Well, Jesus is. He is very God. And yet he still passed up the privilege tonight. Judas had an up close and personal view for these years. I mean, you think about it, it's almost an unimaginable privilege. And yet tonight we know that for 30 pieces of silver, tonight we know that despite how perfect. Now, I don't know tonight if you've ever had anyone do you wrong that you've always been kind to. I don't know tonight, you know, here in West Virginia, you know, when we wave at people, like it bothers me if I wave at somebody and they don't wave back. Like I'm going down the road thinking, I tell you, well, what did I ever do to that? I mean, I'm personally bothered by it. Now, if you're not, y'all pray for me. But if you've ever had somebody, you ever reached out your hand and they wouldn't shake your hand or they wouldn't speak or you knew something, say, oh, man. Now, can you imagine tonight Jesus? And that, right, and Jesus says, what you do, do quickly. And Satan enters into Judas. And look, there's so many ways, and I'm not going to keep you too much longer here tonight. But I tell you what, there's a great lesson. When we look at these other disciples, I'm intimidated. I look at these other disciples, and man, they were martyred, and they laid down their life, and I mean, they give their life to Christ, and they undoubtedly give their life to study, they give their life to sacrifice, they give, I mean, these are the heroes of the faith. And then I see Judas. And it reminds me that no matter how perfect you are, no matter what circumstances there are, God still allows people to say no. You can come to church. There's some young people here, and I'm so glad they're here. And some of you that are older, you can come to church all your life and still miss it. You can have church. We live in an area where there's churches, even as small as our population is, there's churches everywhere. There are churches all over the place. There are places to worship the Lord all over America. But yet, how many of us know this tonight? There are people that have turned their back on God everywhere. And they've passed up on the privilege. And can you imagine tonight, every time the Word of God is read, it says, and Judas that betrayed him. He goes out, he takes his own life. And the Bible gives a very discreet picture. I mean, it's very gruesome. This is not a pretty picture. This is not a great scene. This would not win any great awards. You can't just pretty it up and say, well, you know, he was, no. It just says it exactly. He was the son of perdition. He let Satan use him and he betrayed the very God in heaven that loved him and had never done him wrong. Not one time. And yet he betrayed him. Can you imagine tonight, church, passing up on those privileges? When we think of Judas, he had everything that all these others. These others walked on water. These others saw people healed. These others started churches, went to other countries, led people to the Lord, had revivals. I mean, was hated so much by the authorities that they were. But and you know why they were hated? And by the way, the authorities hated Judas too. In fact, when he tried to give the money back, many of you remember the account, he tried to get back and said, we don't want it. They don't have nothing to do with it. All they wanted was the meanness of it. They don't want Judas didn't get any. He didn't get anything. It never pays to go against God. And Judas, he had missed this. He had fallen in love with that money. And the very one that created the universe was the one that was right beside him. It is a warning to us tonight. It's a warning to everybody. When you read in fact, every time you think about Judas, you think about all this positive in the Gospels and all these wonderful things. And then you come up to Judas and you're reminded, and you come up to the crucifixion, and this is the beginning of it. He is betrayed. He kisses. You've got to watch out. Judas is so intimate, he goes up. What a whole, you're talking about virtue signaling. That's the picture of it in Scripture. Well, what a message it is. It's a reminder to us tonight. It's a reminder that you can be right there with the blessings and the privileges and still miss them. May we take the life of Judas as a giant warning to all of us. Maybe you got a family member tonight or a loved one, pray for them. And maybe somebody will hear this, maybe even later, and say, you know what? I don't want to end up. I want to make sure that I'm ready and I'm right with God and I'm walking with the Lord. Because here's the thing about it. Judas was no worse than you or I. God loves us. If it wasn't for God's love toward me, hey, there's nothing in me. There's nothing good in me. It's only because of His love and His compassion toward me. And when you say yes to the Lord, what a wonderful thing it is. Hey, don't miss the privilege. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for our people. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our